to do. So let's start here with me and you. Gonna take a little time. Let's see what we can find. Oh, come on, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand.
And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We come your way every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, and we stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. And we also archive all of our programs. Since we've been doing this program in September of... I'll play the open one more time. Since we started this program almost 3 years ago, September of 2007, I was just talking with my guest off the air, and I was reminiscing about growing up back in Phoenix, and I think 19 got seared into my brain again. I don't know why. I got to cut that out. It's now the 21st century, the futuristic millennium, if you will, or at least we hope. That we will progress forward and become more than we are today. There are those who say that, that stands to reason that you're going to be more today than you were yesterday. You're less today than you will be tomorrow, especially if you are accessing your potential. You're living your purpose. You're moving forward and striving to accomplish more in your life because you want to see more happen. And we're going to be talking with a gentleman today who has written a book called Unleash Your Full Potential. He also has the Full Potential Academy, and we're going to be talking more about all of that here on the program with my guest, James Rick. And James, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program. And as we were sharing, of course, I'm here on the Central Coast in, as they say, sunny California. It's a nice cool day. I think it's like 60, 61 breezes. The marine layer's burning off. It's absolutely a gorgeous day if you want to spend it down at the beach or in the mountains for that matter. And you're there in Vegas where the pilot light's been lit and they're turning up the heat.
We're scorching, Richard. You're making me jealous.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the program. When we put this program together, we wanted to bring onto it those who are involved in making the world a better place, whether it's their world around them as far as just, say, their personal space, that's fine, or all the way out to changing the world, the planet Earth. And you are about doing that by getting people, if I can put it this way, getting them in touch with their potential. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, Richard. What it boils down to is who we are. The sum of who we are is not what we are today. The sum of who we are, our absolute value, is our unrealized potential, our full potential. Over the course of our life is really the measure of who we are. And we don't know that. We don't know that today. We don't know just how much we're capable of. But if we are motivated and desire to realize that full potential, well, that's something that I help people do, to see just how far they can take their life in both their personal and also impersonal, in kind of the global sense.
Now, there have been those that I've talked with who I've shared some of our guests' ideas and their concepts, or if you will, their paradigms. One in particular who has this vision for the future, a future civilization that is not based on money. There's no monetary aspect to this new civilization. It's resource-based, and all the resources belong to all of us. To which I get these replies. Well, then there's no real challenge in life, is there? You're not going to have any competition, and you're not going to strive to make yourself or anything else better if there's no money involved. And I'm going to, not necessarily being a betting man, James, I'm going to bet that's not true.
No, it's not, Richard. I think we're always going to want to push ourselves, and I think somebody who might say something like that is wanting to push themselves. So that's kind of, they're coming from a good place. It's just, do we need to push ourselves for survival, or what I think are sometimes low value ways of expressing ourselves or not expressing ourselves because we're so caught up in just trying to survive that if we did have resources and we all had an equal opportunity for food, water, and shelter, we would start pushing ourselves in a higher value ways. And at first, you know, you might be like, well, I don't have to work. I'm going to just sit back and enjoy life a little bit and not do anything. But then I think you'd get to a point where you say, this is not fulfilling. I'm ready to push myself. And because you're not just pushing yourself to survive, you're pushing yourself to maybe care more, love more, give more. You'll find that what you're doing is actually more your calling and more fulfilling, higher value work.
In the 1960s, as I was just growing up, coming in on the scene, as it were, we as Americans had a goal, and that was to put a man on the moon. So we put all of our, well, not all of our resources, but a fair amount of our resources into just that. And by 1969, July, we actually put a man on the moon. We achieved something. We put everybody who had a part in it. They had different potentials. Not everybody could do the same thing, which is an advantage because you want people to specialize in certain things. Matter of fact, a gentleman that I know very closely who lived up here in Santa Barbara was actually an engineer who worked on the control panels for the Apollo space program, which I did not know until after his passing. What about using that as, say, of a baseline in terms of what we as humans can or even want to achieve in the future?
Using a goal, a big ambitious goal as a baseline?
Yeah. Are we evolved enough yet as a species, as a people, to do that again? Or are we too fractionalized? Are we too focused on self and individual pursuits to do that anymore?
Well, good question, Richard. The way I see it is society is living on a spectrum of consciousness. And, you know, no one is better than the other, but there are higher quality and lower quality states of consciousness. And what that basically means is there are people working on things like that right now, people that are working on really ambitious goals and projects like, you know, how to create clean water for everybody, how to get rid of diseases. Like, you know, Bill Gates is putting billions of his wealth into, you know, getting rid of malaria. We have people working on artificial intelligence, you know, really ambitious projects that are just what they're passionate about, what they're passionate about doing. Then you also have people that aren't doing anything productive with their time at all. So I don't think we can say as a whole that society is one way or another way. I think we can look at pockets of society and say that some people here are focused on really high value, ambitious projects that really stretch themselves. And some pockets of society over here aren't as focused, aren't as laser focused in the higher value. What we might determine as higher value areas, and then ourselves as observers looking at what we consider to be high or low value, all depends on where our perspective is. So in short, Richard, I think that we do have people working on very, very big problems, and we have some people working on very small problems, and society as a whole is moving forward. I think that there's a natural drive in society, and I think underneath that is just evolution itself that is urging us to improve, to adapt, and to make a better environment for all life.
My guest is the author of Unleash Your Full Potential. He is also the founder of Full Potential Academy. His name is James Rick, and we're going to continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay with us.
Are addictions ruining your life? Have you lost hope and long to discover help for a brighter tomorrow? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share, a talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present, a workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
Real gardening starts with the soil. Why? Because plants live in the soil and they can't get up and move if their environment goes bad. You can, however, do something to improve your soil. Whether you're planting a new garden or want help with your existing one, call AgriTurf at 569-2257 to schedule your consultation now. George Schnackenberg at AgriTurf has the lowdown on what's up with your soil. So if you think you have tired soil, call 569-2257.
AgriTurf has everything your garden needs on Las Positas and Modoc.
You can't go on falling back, a flooding river. Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you. It haunts me too. Yes, and I do.
Tell me your story. New paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We repeat it a lot, but it's worth repeating because we do have so much potential in our lives that I think probably when our lives are over, we probably will look back, no matter how successful, no matter how much we've achieved. We will probably say, James Rick, author of Unleash Your Full Potential, we will still say, there was still so much I wanted to do. And that's one of the things that we kind of want to get away from when we reach that point in our lives where we say, I did it all, or I did just as much as I could. I mean, I packed it into my life and I utilized as much of my potential as a human being can to make a difference. Where do we start in terms of measuring potential?
Well, boy, that's a great question, Richard. I think first we do have to take an inventory of what we're using to create our potential at the moment, or what we're using as the life resources, I call them.
Okay.
And so there are I have what I call the life pyramid,
mm-hmm.
where we identify what are your life resources that you can then start to measure, because depending on how well you're using these resources will determine how much power you're actually going to have in your life. And so I'll briefly go through this life pyramid with you, and then to answer that question, we'll go through each point. And mm-hmm. we can even use you as a test subject, if you like, Richard, and kind of put you in the spotlight on this one.
Okay.
Or the hot seat, rather.
Okay.
All right, so we've got in the life pyramid, at the bottom of the life pyramid, it starts with the highest priority items, and it goes up to what might be considered the lower priority items, as long as you're doing it in this order. So at the base of the pyramid, you have time. Mm-hmm. It's your most important resource. It absolutely, how you use your time is going to determine how much you realize your potential. And then next comes your energy, your physical, mental, and spiritual energy. And you should be using your time in ways that optimizes your physical, mental, and spiritual energy, because that's going to create the foundation for the other resources that we talk about to really help them to be tapped and to be realized. The next level is knowledge. And knowing how to maximize your time and energy requires knowledge,
mm-hmm.
but obviously those resources are the most important. But if you know how to make the most of those, then that's why it's the third most important. And then next up from knowledge, we have your connection with yourself, which is self-knowledge or intuition, basically being very integrated, very integrity-driven, very aligned with yourself. You are a resource. Your subconscious and your intuition, connecting with that is a resource. The next level up is your connection with others, your peer network. They are one of the greatest influences of your environment and also one of the greatest resources that you have. And then finally, wealth or money is the final resource in the life pyramid. And if you are maximizing all of these things, then you are really going to be living your full potential. So now let's try to get a measure on each one of these resources, Richard. And let's say on time, how would you rate your time on a 1 to 10?
Time as far as utilization in the best possible way?
In accordance with your values and your goals and what you really think is most important in your life, how well do you think you manage your time?
And I guess what we'll do is maybe use a scale of 1 to 10. I'm going to put it probably, being honest, probably 6, 6.5.
Okay. All right, yeah, and that's very important, too, is being honest with yourself. So let's say, and that's still pretty good, 6, 6.5. And then energy on a 1 to 10, how well would you say physically, mentally, and spiritually throughout the day, consistent long-term with no artificial, you know, drugs or anything else, how well do you think you're optimized in your energy?
I'm gonna actually put it up higher, closer to a 9.
Okay, cool. 9, that's great. And knowledge, how much knowledge do you think you have relative to all the important areas, mastering, like say, for example, your time is a 6, you know, depending on where you're at. Let's put it this way. You have 6 major life areas, your physical, your mental, your spiritual, your social, your emotional, and your financial.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how well you've mastered each one of these areas is going to be greatly dependent on how much knowledge you have of these areas. So how well would you say you've mastered your life in the physical, mental, spiritual, social, emotional, and financial in terms of knowledge?
I'd have to set up 6 different scales, but I won't go that route. What I will say is I would average it out and probably say 8.5.
8.5. Okay. Yeah, that's very good. And that probably explains why your energy is so high.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, now your connection with yourself, that means you know, knowing thyself, your connection with your subconscious, your intuitive insights, your creativity. How on a 1 to 10, how well are you tapping that resource?
I'd say 9, maybe 9.5.
Fantastic. Okay, and your connection with others, your level of confidence, your ability to connect with others and get things done, and also feeling a sense of synergy or you know, an overall sense of accomplishing things through people and with people.
That I'd put at a 10.
Fantastic. Okay. And then finally, on your financial, how empowered do you feel financially to really extend your intention, so to speak, to use money to create what it is that is most important in your life? How empowered do you feel there?
And I'm going to put that at a 5.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, this is a measure of your potential at the moment. So this really helps you to know where you've got to zero in and mm-hmm. make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might say, you know, if all the other things were like 5s and you put time at like a 10, mm-hmm. I'd say no, because if all these other things are a 5, it results in whatever the other resources are coming out to, or where you would rate your life physically, mentally, spiritually, socially, emotionally, or financially.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a pretty strong indicator of how your potential is being realized right now, just based on doing this quick assessment. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the point, and guess what? I don't think we'll ever get to the point where we could say a 10 at all levels, because the minute you start focusing on, let's say, increasing your financial power, one of your other areas is going to dip slightly,
right,
or it might dip significantly, mm-hmm. and then you're going to have to start focusing on that one.
Yep. Yeah,
so
that's true.
The funny thing about potential is it kind of shifts as we focus in one area, and that's all we can do is focus in one area at a time. And that's where a high-value routine comes into play every day, because you want to at least hit 3 or 4 major life areas a day with your routine.
So tell us, what's the difference between potential and purpose?
Oh, okay. Your potential is your power to do, and your purpose is why you're doing what you're doing. It's your why.
Okay.
So potential, let's say you had a really strong why of what you wanted to do in the world, but you're impotent in terms of what you can actually do, let's say because you're totally poor, or you're locked away in prison or something, you may have a really, really strong why of what you want to do in life, but your potential is going to be greatly limited by factors that may or may not be within your control. your duty is to discover all the things that are within your control and leverage those to the max.
This is fascinating in terms of, again, as you've stated well, getting in touch with the attributes of our being, if you will, and saying, okay, and again, taking an honest and fair assessment. And then, of course, the converse is true, too. Yes, you want to be honest, but you don't want to be critical. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, James, there are a lot of folks who are extremely critical and would probably give them low marks in a lot of areas just because they don't feel as though they've achieved much of anything in life. So how could they be adequately using their time, their energy, their knowledge, their connections, and their money because they don't feel like they've done anything? How do you get over that hurdle?
That's a great, great point, Richard. And really what you're talking about now is self-image. And you know, a healthy self-image is going to allow you to be honest with yourself without being too critical. But let's say you are coming from a hindered self-image, and then I say, well, how do you measure these things? Well, your view of that.
Okay, well, we're going to take a look here at some other areas of life with James as he is able to connect back with us, and he will. Somehow we've lost the signal, and you are listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices. We're talking with James Rick, and he is the author of Unleashing Your Full Potential, and it happens to have a subtitle, and I'm working my way. I have the ebook up on my screen here. When my computer has decided it's going to work rather slowly. Here we go. It is the secret to revealing your hidden power. So unleash your full potential. And again, the secret for revealing your hidden power. James Rick is my guest, and we are talking about, again, as he just went over with us, the areas of time, power, knowledge, connection, and money. And I think that those are good points for each one of us to take a look at. Now, not realizing that I was going to be put on the spot there, you know, it was just a quick best out of 10, if you will, on a scale of 1 to 10 situation. And so, yes, if, you know, maybe you should do the same assessment, you know, go back and take a look at how you best utilize. Do you utilize your time? Do you utilize your energy? Where is your energy level in terms of on a daily basis as you go through your tasks and knowledge of the aspects, the tools in your toolbox to achieve and accomplish those things that you want. We encourage you to do that, as well as taking a look at the people that you are connected with, the individuals that you associate with on a day-to-day basis, those people who can support you and assist you in the process of achieving those things that you want to achieve. It's always going to be up to you, but there's nothing wrong. And as a matter of fact, it's always kind of nice to have other folks involved in and with your project. We honestly never achieve anything by ourselves. We are all here together to work together. And I want to try to help you to achieve the things that you want to achieve. And in turn, you may want to just pass that on. That's okay. You don't have to return it to me and say, okay, well, you help me, so I'm going to help you. I don't know if you remember, there was a movie called Pay It Forward. It was a wonderful little film, and I'm trying to remember the actor's name now. Spacey, I believe, was the last name of the gentleman who was in it. And basically, it was about this young boy who came up with a social studies assignment for paying it forward. You do something nice for three people, but they then, in turn, have to do something nice for someone else. And so you just keep paying it forward and paying it forward and so forth. And yeah, you can change the world. He didn't have a great deal of confidence that it would achieve much, and yet it achieved a great deal made a big difference. So realize that we are here together. Realize that we are working towards a common goal and a common good. I want to encourage you to go to a website. It's called fullpotential.com. That's fullpotential.com, where you can find out more about Unleash Your Full Potential. And you can find out more about James Rick, who is our guest, and encourage you to, you know, always encourage you to check out our guest and their information. Again, a reminder that the pyramid that he was talking about, as a matter of fact, has to do with the time aspects at the base, cause control, energy, physical, mental, and spiritual, knowledge experienced and learned, as well as connections with self, others, and spirit, and then wealth, money, and assets. And that determines the kind of power and or potential that you have in your life. And this is according to James Rick and the Life Pyramid from the book Unleash Your Full Potential, the secrets that we are talking about here on the program. I'm actually kind of looking, as we are talking here about the full potential that each of us have, kind of goes untapped. What was it? I remember hearing the commentary that we utilize 10% of our brain, something along those lines. I've heard that comment before. And it is rather interesting when you hear that and you wonder, well, how do we know that? I often wonder how we can grasp that. How they can measure that, I guess, is really what I'm trying to say. How do they measure whether we're only using 10%? Well, of course, they can measure brain waves and all those kinds of things. But now they're saying, as a matter of fact, people like Lynn McTaggart and Greg Braden are talking about, of course, the field, and there's this energetic field around you, and it actually memory and a lot of other aspects and attributes of who and what we are actually resonant not inside the brain, but out, if you will, for point of reference, outside the physical body in this field. Kind of interesting. Full potential is in you. It represents your available power. Power is freedom and the ability to be, do, and create what you will. And of course, in this particular book that we're talking about, you'll learn how to identify the resources you already have and maximize them for best results. We're talking with James Reed, and he is the author of the book that we are talking about, Unleash Your Full Potential. James, I take it that you are now back with us, and I've been sharing with our audience basically kind of running over the pyramid once again, also letting people know about where they can get a copy of your book at fullpotential.com. Once we've taken this assessment, Rick, James, can we... what is the next step so that we can start to achieve using this newly found understanding of our potential as we start shifting from one level to the next to try to maximize? What's the next step for us?
Well, Richard, first of all, I want to comment. I think you're really gifted at asking the right questions, and I think that comes with, you know, some self-reflection, some time really asking empowering questions is really a great start, and I think you're doing that naturally with me now, and that's going to be helpful to a lot of people, but also just recognizing that if you can get in the habit of asking empowering questions, you will find the right information. So I just want to stop and say that's an important part of thinking right. And now to answer that question, once you have these areas that you've measured and you kind of are like, all right, I need to be a little stronger in this area. Let's take money, for example, because that's where, you know, you'd scored yourself at a 5. And again, this scoring could be different for everybody. You could be a billionaire and still score yourself at a 5 because you're not where you think you could be in terms of your finances or where you want to be. And so let's start with that one, though, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So let's say financially you say you're at a 5, and that may be an area that you feel you want to work on the most.
Right.
Is that true? Because that's where you'd scored the lowest? Or do you think, based on like seeing the life period, is there any other area you think that may deserve more attention? Because I'd like to drill down on that one and use that as an example.
Well, of course, there are many of us, myself included, who wish that we could achieve our purpose in life without having to strive so much and struggle so hard for the money to then turn around and use as part of our potential. So I it's hard for me to answer that question. Yes, I want to strengthen that, or no, I don't, because I don't want that to be a focal point. I want to be able to achieve my purpose without having to overly to inflate that, if you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you mean, and you know what you're saying is, I think, a struggle that a lot of people actually go through, because you know what, it's not the money, it's not even about the money. The money is not that important to me. What is important is that I'm able to live my purpose, and there's a higher purpose in my life, and it's more spiritually driven, it's more fulfilling, and the money doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, money affects us.
Right, right.
And so we got to go, all right, the money's not important, but boy, it sure pays the bills that allow me to keep the internet going and everything else that's allowing me to do my purpose.
Right.
So, yeah, that is a struggle and a challenge I think a lot of people can relate with. And so here's how I approached it in my own life. Now, I'm not saying that I've got the best way. I will say that I put a lot of time and energy into finding the right knowledge and really self-reflecting and going through the whole process to be able to relate in the way that I have with money. And perhaps it can be of help to you and a lot of people who share a similar perspective.
Okay.
So when it comes to money, there's two key things that I talk about, first of all, on how to actually make the most of, you know, your money in your life and to actually create what's real wealth. And so let's first define wealth. Wealth is freedom, it's empowerment, and it's options. So wealth is a little different than just money, which is, you know, riches and pure money in the money sense. Wealth is about freedom of your time and your energy and having the ability to focus where you truly want to focus in life. And I think that's what everybody seeks, and it's not so much about the money. So that's the first part, is distinguishing the difference between the wealth and then the money riches. And once you've done that, you realize that what you're really seeking is a lifestyle of empowerment, freedom, and options, as opposed to just filling up your bank account with some arbitrary number of money.
Right.
So let's start there. What you're seeking is lifestyle, and now here's where it gets really important, because if you can have a great lifestyle and it doesn't require a lot of money, you're going to free up your energy, you're going to free up your mental space to really focus on what is your life purpose. Because I think in a lot of ways, society programs us to say how much we should want things that cost a lot of money so that we're a consuming-oriented society and so that we spend, and need a lot of money to feel like we're wealthy. When the opposite is actually true, Richard, if we can cut back and live below our means in every area that's not absolutely important to us and not essential to living our purpose and living a fulfilled life, if we can cut back in all those areas, even though it may seem like and feel like a sacrifice, especially to your ego, that might say, well, gosh, if I don't have the big house and the nice car and the great clothes and the jewelry and all this, people may look down on me. I may not have the same status that I would if I had all those things. But guess what? That's an expensive habit to maintain, ego.
Yeah.
So once you can drop all of that and say, you know what, that even though the ego feeds off that stuff, that's not going to bring me fulfillment. Once you can drop all that stuff and say, boy, you know what, when I really get real with myself and say, what do I really need to live a wealthy lifestyle for myself? My costs go way, way down when I actually look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first real key to living a frugal lifestyle, because then you can just focus on what's really important and you don't need gobs of money in order to support a lifestyle that you don't really care about. Does that make sense?
It makes very good sense. I think, too, another observation would be in terms of not necessarily a paring down, and I'm now speaking now in terms of terms, words, semantics is now where I'm going with this, because we have placed all kinds of words of judgment on certain types of lifestyles, as far as, you know, the poor, the wealthy, and so forth and so on, even in what you've described. Again, it's just an observation on my part, when in fact, when I take a look at, say, the animal kingdom, the animals, they don't have to worry about that. They just go throughout their lives doing what they do, and that's part of nature. I find it fascinating that we as men, a man, have labeled their behavior as predator prey. And that, oh my gosh, that lion just took down that antelope, and well, what a shame. That's life. That is not predator prey. That is just life. That is the way that it is out there. It's neither good nor bad. It's not survival. It's life. So when we get to a point where, as you are talking about, where we can live our purpose, we then really get to live our life.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, we, as humans, we observe things that go on in a neutral environment,
yeah.
And then we give it meaning.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're talking about. Humans are one of the only creatures that can look at something, and instead of seeing what's actually happening, which is a neutral thing, they look at that, they interpret it, and they create meaning out of it. That then becomes positive or negative, or all the semantics that go along with that, the meanings that go along with how we interpret life. And when it comes to living on purpose and doing what's truly important to you, you have to discard
yeah.
a lot of the BS
yeah.
that is being fed by institutions that thrive on ignorance. The people that thrive on it, the companies that thrive on it, we have been programmed as a society, especially here in America, to consume in order to build, that's what the economy is. The economy is built on consumption. So you have people who feel like they must hold a certain standard of life that is not possible for everybody. They must maintain a certain status of life that really, comes from more of when we were living in tribes. Earlier, humanity was more of a tribal-based society. And frankly, it's all an illusion now, Richard, because you look at it and you say, does that person really own the house and the car and the clothes? Or is next week they're going to lose all that because it was all leveraged based on debt?
Or put it another way, or next week they're going to, quote-unquote, lose all that because they die.
Right.
They can't take it with them. So now... Now what are you going to do? You're no longer here. What happens to the house? Do you care? Probably not in the next world.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, but yes, you are right. And it is very interesting. I remember as of this program, because people are going to be listening to the archives of this program, as of the recording of the live broadcast of this program, we had, I guess it was this past week, we had that big 1,000-point drop in our own stock market, and then it shot back up again the next day, 400 or 500 points? That was the conclusion I came to, James. Illusion. Artificial. It's not real.
And this is something that, you go back, even some spiritual texts like the Bhagavad Gita and everything, they talk about in Maya. It's a state of illusion. What we observe is not necessarily, and what we think we see is not exactly what we see.
Right.
And how this relates to people, though, how we go a little beyond just theory about this, is we have to say, what's important to our life, to mm-hmm. our individual life, and what is going to affect people in the most positive way that we can do it? In other words, how can we stop comparing ourselves to what appears to be the standard based on what the media says, based on what marketing says, based on what we were programmed from the time that we were small? How can we start operating according to our own life standards so that we don't need to spend to feel like we're actually living,
mm-hmm.
but we can cut, and only invest in the areas that are truly important to us, so then we set the stage for living on purpose without feeling this sense of financial obligation? Because we're getting back to ultimately, you talked about in the money category and where many people might rate themselves in the money category. Here's the sad truth about a capitalistic society. The majority, no matter how smart or how hardworking they are, no matter what anybody will tell them about how they can hope and aspire and become rich one day, the majority, as a function of mathematical truth, will be in debt. Period. That's
mm-hmm.
the only way the system can work is if the majority, and I think there's a figure of, for every dollar of, somebody in the surplus, there's about $7 or $8 in debt. Meaning, if you had $100,000 in the bank, Richard, there's about $700,000 to $800,000 of debt floating around somewhere that made that possible.
And interesting.
So what we've got here is a situation where society would go nuts if that truth actually really sank in. We'd say, well, what are we doing? Why are we all aspiring to be millionaires when it's absolutely mathematically impossible based on the way the system is designed right now?
Plus the fact, is that really part of your purpose in your life, to be a millionaire?
It's not. No, here's the thing. We all know that money affects us, and we all know that money helps make things easier. We
mm-hmm.
can hire people to do things.
Sure.
We can create our books. We can get it published. We can speak. We can We can do all kinds of cool things with money. Money is not the problem.
Right.
Currency is not the problem. Currency has been around as long as man has been working in tribal communities.
Right.
So there's always been forms of currency. The problem is that we have a system has sort of taken over, a very intelligent but behind-the-scenes system that most people don't understand, has made it impossible for most people, or even the majority, to be well off. And so what you have is a system that's designed for people to mostly struggle. And once you recognize that, you say, okay, we have one or two options. Either one, we can overthrow the system, and now we're talking revolutionary talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or two, in the meantime, because the system overthrow might be a little ways off, what we are talking about is, how do we stay out of the freaking system in the first place? How do we minimize the impact that this system has on us? And the only way we can do that, Richard, is if we stop being hard-up consumers, if we don't go into debt, if we pay cash for things, if we buy used, and we live really frugal, it's almost like we have a light foot in the system. So we can't avoid not being in the system because money impacts us in every way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we refuse to cooperate with, say, the bank, in that, no, we're not going to take out a big home mortgage. I'm going to live well below my means, and then even if it's a small little box at first, to be able to just pay it off
right,
and avoid the interest that would work against me.
Now, bear in mind, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, these lifestyle decisions will allow somebody to not get caught up in a system that's, in a way, built to turn them into indentured servants, whether it's car loans, house loans, student loans. Any form of debt is a form of servitude to a master that owns that part of your life.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's rather interesting. I have another question that I want to pose to you. But first, two things that came to mind as we were sitting here talking about this whole aspect of money. Bobby Fried, who wrote The Marketing Plan for Life, I interviewed him about 2 years ago. I've known him for a long time, and he talks about the struggle we have as individuals finding jobs that make money and finding jobs that have meaning. And he says, you can find the job that can make you all kinds of money, and you can find the job that has all kinds of meaning, but some, for whatever reason, we can't seem to find the job that has both. And there's a struggle there. And then on the issue of, on a humorous note, there's a local gentleman who writes these little sayings, and I'm going to paraphrase it. I don't think I'm going to remember it exactly, but what is it along the lines of money won't make you happy? Well, I would just like, and the saying is, I would just like the opportunity to prove that wrong. You know, just give me the opportunity to prove it wrong, I think is how that one goes. My final question, but before we go to break, I want to ask you, because you've been extremely practical, you've been extremely down to earth, brass tacks, if you will. And granted, we've been talking specifically about finances and the financial world and these kinds of aspects in the pyramid. But my question also goes to what I brought up at the beginning of the program regarding the Apollo program, and we had a collective goal of going to the moon, and the rest of the world kind of came around and joined us as we sent Apollo 11 up, and we got closer and closer. And I mean, it was then almost like a planetary thing, and it was almost as if we willed them there and back again. So my question to you that I've asked a number of my guests in the last couple of months is, in your perspective, what do you think humanity's purpose is? Again, on a practical, down-to-earth level, what is it that we want to achieve in 50, 100, 1,000 years, or do we even want to be here in 1,000 years?
Okay. Well, this is a great, great question. Very deep, very thoughtful, Richard. And my response to that is, first, I have to step out of being a human in terms of being objective about it. Because humanity is prejudiced for humanity, thinking that the purpose of humanity is to serve humanity. And I don't think that's the purpose of humanity. I think the purpose of humanity is to realize consciousness in the highest way possible, and eventually we are going to be the bridge to another species, which is going to be technologically based. It's going to be a merge of humanity plus technology. And we are just one rung in the ladder of evolution that is making higher and higher consciousness possible. And the extent of our comprehension of this mission of evolution, and underneath evolution, by the way, in my theory is that God works through evolution. So some people think, well, evolution is godless, but I think that there is intelligent design and there's an intelligent force behind the evolution that is happening. And so getting back to the question, what is the purpose of humanity? We are here to evolve consciousness. And so within our own individual lifetimes, we are evolving our individual consciousness, number one, but as our individual consciousness evolves, we also will, as a natural result of that, realize that other people are like us or are in fact us, and be so compassionate and loving and caring about evolving their consciousness as well. An inevitable result of evolving your individual consciousness is that you cannot help but evolve other people's consciousness. And what does that mean to evolve consciousness? It really means doing what we're doing here today. It means empowering, strengthening, building up, raising awareness, relieving unnecessary suffering, and contributing massive value with as many of the resources that we can conjure up in our lifetime to make life more enjoyable and more endurable for the people that are living today and all of the life forms that also sustain us.
Well, without becoming a little flip here, I hope you're not speaking of us assimilating into the Borg, but I think I have an understanding, and we'll have to address that one at a later date on another program, because it is rather fascinating, especially with science and nanotechnology and those particular endeavors and discoveries. It's extremely fascinating, and there are people who would agree with you that that's the direction that we're heading. My guest is James Rick, and he is the author of, I think, an extraordinary book, Unleash Your Full Potential, The Secret for Revealing Your Hidden Power. And as I was saying when we were separated there just for a brief moment or two, it is said that we only use about 10% of our brains. Where does that fall in the context of a potential? I mean, is our potential in our brains, or is that the knowledge that we store in our brains that is part of that pyramid that we've been talking about, the life pyramid?
Well, good question, Richard. Again, the idea that we only use 10% of our brain, I think, is a myth, in that evolution would never allow such inefficiency to occur. It would not carry, you know, the brain, just for an example, the brain uses about 30% of our bodily calories. It's a major consumption of energy. If we were only using 10% of it, we'd only have a brain that's 10% the size it is right now. The reality is we use 100% of our brain, but we don't use it as efficiently as we could. It's like a machine. It's like a instrument. Mm-hmm. It's a tool that could be used for good. It can be used for bad. And we are, when the measure of 10% or 15% or whatever it is, I think it's a measure of efficiency. How well could we optimize this machine, mm-hmm, so that it could serve a greater purpose? And really now we're talking, you know, in relativity too, because what is a greater purpose? What you might think is how we should be using our brain may not be how somebody else might think how we should use our brain. And so they might look at how you're living your life and say, well, he's only using 10% of his brain, but I'm using 20%. My goal, my purpose is more important.
Yeah.
But so it really comes down to, ultimately, what is the greatest use of your time, energy, knowledge, connection with self, connection with others, and money? In other words, what is the greatest use of your life resources? And whatever that decided truth might be, mm-hmm, it might only be relevant to society today. Like, for example, even if we got 1 million people to agree what the greatest use of these resources might be, and then again, how the brain organizes these resources, that might only be relevant for this lifetime,
right,
or for the next couple of generations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, really coming back to that of, well, how do we know when we're realizing 100% of our potential? It ultimately comes back to, how well do you understand yourself, and how evolved is your consciousness? Because the more evolved it is, the more you'll know for yourself if you're using or realizing your potential to the highest degree.
And James Rick is my guest. Unleash Your Full Potential is the book, and we'll be right back.
Real gardening starts with the soil. Why? Because plants live in the soil, and they can't get up and move if their environment goes bad. You can, however, do something to improve your soil. Whether you're planting a new garden or want help with your existing one, call AgriTurf at 569-2257 to schedule your consultation now. George Schnackenberg at AgriTurf has the lowdown on what's up with your soil. So if you think you have tired soil, call 569-2257.
AgriTurf has everything your garden needs on Las Positas and Modoc.
Do your thoughts center on regret and resentment? Do you feel lost with all the joy drained out of your life? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Well, close.
Yes, very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the freshest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
New paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan with James Rick, author of Unleash Your Full Potential. And James, before we run out of time in the last, I'm going to say 45 seconds or so, actually a minute 45, but needless to say, you've done a lot of things in your life that have brought to you this place. Why this? Why now?
Why am I doing this?
Why are you doing this and why now?
Richard, I reached a point where I could no longer do what I was doing before as a full-time occupation. I felt like I wasn't living my full potential, and it was nagging at me. And so what I was doing before, just in a little context, I was as an entrepreneur, I was focused more on making money, bottom line profit. This is something that I know is going to help my soul and help so many others. And it's something I feel like I have to do. I feel like I have a choice, but I feel like I have to do it because it's, you know, you feel something that might be your destiny, your purpose. And when you're on it, it feels great. And when you're not on it, you feel like it's the only thing you should be doing with your time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are certainly thankful for your taking your time to share your story with us and Unleash Your Full Potential, which is available at fullpotential.com. And we are linked to your website as well, James, and we thank you again for joining us here on the program. Oh, and I want to let our listeners know there's more to come, because on this audio, you're going to hear the after interview. When we're done here, we're going to continue talking, and you'll have to go to the website to check it out. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm encouraging you to join us next Saturday at the same time. Until then, love to all. And as we continue talking here on Tell Me Your Story, I'm here with James Rick, and he is the author of Unleash Your Full Potential. And we've gotten into some rather deep philosophical questions as we've progressed in this program. And one of the things that I find so interesting, there are a number of books that have come out over the decades dealing with purpose, dealing with staying focused on what you are meant to do. And a lot of people are struggling today, James, with trying to find that purpose. And then you're coming along with this whole discussion of potential. It's kind of like, okay, I have this car, but I have no way to get it moving forward. And what you're providing is the inertia, but they're still trying to find the car. That's really sort of, is that necessarily the first step? I've got to find my purpose first before I can assess and find my potential?
It's a great question, Richard. It's something that you create. You know, some people, I joke, you know, we're waiting around for a FedEx package to arrive and tell us what our purpose is. And the reality is you've got to tune in to yourself and ask yourself, based on my values, what I truly value in life, what is the most important thing, what is the most important why that I can have in my life right now? Why am I alive today, and what should I be doing with my time, energy, knowledge, and all the rest of my life resources? And the answer to that, whatever it is something that you can begin upon immediately, and in a week or a month or a year from now, you may ask that question, and it can be something different. It's not like the purpose of our life is written on stone, and if we could just find it, it would be the answer to all of our questions. The reality is, I think purpose is always in a transition, and your purpose right now may be very different from your purpose 10 years from now, even though it may be all part of a greater purpose that will be, you'll be aware of at the end of your life, looking back and saying, oh, that was my purpose. But for right now, your purpose is whatever is closest and dearest and most important to you in your life. And then just be ready, because, you know, in a few years or whatever the time period might be, that can change. But you got to get started on it. Imagine if you have a purpose right now, and because you're procrastinating, you're waiting for the perfect, you know, sign from the heavens that this is your purpose, and you're not actually doing what is your purpose right now, how you're going to suffer as a result of that.
I know there are those who go from job to job in relating this to what you just said, and it's like, okay, I know what I want to do as a career. I know that, like for me, one of the things I would love to do is this, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, take it around the world, interviewing people all the time, and just exposing these kinds of people and their information to the rest of the world, saying, hey, it's not a question of can it be done. It is being done, and there are people like James Rick who are doing this very thing. Now, I'm not there yet. I may take a job in a warehouse next week. I may take a job at a Jiffy Lube next month. I may take a job at a financial firm next year. But somehow, some way, when I get beyond all of those, I'll be able to look back and see how the warehouse, the Jiffy Lube, and the financial services company all played a role. In other words, there is no wasted time if you are pursuing your purpose.
Well, you're right, Richard. And you know, here's the thing, too, about especially like where I'm at with, say, Full Potential right now. My money still comes in from my call center business. I'm doing this, you know, basically as like a volunteer to the universe, if you will. And I think there's a reason for this. And I think this is a very important point that we need to cover, which is that our purpose may not necessarily be the thing that pays our bills. You see, money is an invention of man, and purpose is manifesting from spirit. And the challenge that we sometimes have of bridging what is our passion and what is our purpose and finding a way to make a fortune while doing it may not be realistic. And so, in fact, maintaining the job or maintaining the business or whatever it is that kind of plugs into this man-made economy while pursuing the passion and the purpose and living out that meaning as kind of something you'd love to do full-time but you maybe aren't necessarily able to do because it may not be a big money maker might be the perfect way to live at first, unless there is some way to really monetize your passion or you do need some business experience or some financial education on how to really monetize your passion. But otherwise, maybe you don't need to force doing what you're passionate and you're very purposeful about
to be your chief source of income. Maybe there's a reason why the man-made version of money-making and economy and everything else is not tied to your passion or your purpose. Because eventually, as you said at the beginning of the show, Richard, that money may eventually fall away, and money is just a temporary form of exchange, whereas your purpose is more infinite and long-lasting in terms of how it's going to serve people and serve all life.
By the way, I'm looking at your pyramid, and of course, starting at the bottom with time, and then there's energy, knowledge, connection, and money. And what I find interesting is energy exists. It's real. It's, I don't want to say it's tangible, but we can prove its existence. Science is saying that everything is made up of energy. Knowledge. Knowledge is that which we accumulate and we acquire through education, through experience, etc. And then connections. You and I, we have a connection. That is part of that. But I know, what's fascinating is that time, which is the largest, is at the base of the pyramid, is also another construct that we can't prove its existence, but we can prove its effects. Whereas money, which is at almost at the top of the pyramid, it's just right below the peak, which is power. As you just stated, it's temporary. The rest of these, in a manner of speaking, they're all ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, time, infinity, that's still a measurement of time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, energy and so on and so forth. I find that, and then I also find it interesting that it's also the smallest element in your pyramid, but we've been talking an awful lot about it on this program, and I would venture that you probably discuss it at a fair length in other circles as well.
It's money in today's society is like oxygen. When you don't have it, it's all you think about.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've got enough of it to survive, having additional quantities of it really just kind of make you feel better, even though you're not using it.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, imagine if you had storages of oxygen tanks in rooms of your house. It's like, well, gosh, if oxygen ever runs out, boy, I've got it available. But all it does is create a sense of peace in the sense that it's there if you need it, but you're not really using it. And the reason why I use that metaphor is because money is essentially something that is useful in the sense of, you know, surviving and meeting basic needs. But beyond that, it's not as important. There is, in fact, studies by economists that show there's a declining margin of utility in terms of once you reach a certain level of survival. It does affect your happiness a lot. But once you've gotten to a point of a certain level of survival, anything beyond that, it has a very declining margin of utility where you actually are going to be happier when you've gone from zero to, let's say, 10,000, you're going to be 10 times as happy. When you go from 10,000 to 100,000, you might be 9 times as happy. 100,000 to a million, you might only be, you know, 1 time as happy. Mm-hmm. There's where the, you know, once you've hit a certain threshold of survival, it starts to taper off. And going back to why it's at the top of the pyramid, even though it's what we talk about most, it's because most people are at a point of survival where they don't even have enough to be able to breathe yet. Especially if they're in debt, it's almost like they're in oxygen starvation mode.
Yeah.
So all they want to talk about is oxygen, or in this case, you know, money.
Yeah, and the whole system right now is geared towards those people who are oxygen deprived, to use your metaphor, and they are telling these oxygen deprived individuals how they, these little companies and corporations, can help them to get more oxygen and be freed up from the oxygen deprivation corporations and on and on and on. And it's like, why isn't somebody observing that that's just a perpetuation of the same thing? It's all still part of the same illusion.
It's a really, really tough question to answer, Richard. Why it isn't apparent is because let's just look at television for a minute. One of the most powerful forms of communication, one of the most powerful mediums of communication in the world today. We, as a whole, as a society, with an average of, I think, still something like 3 or 4 hours a day of television watching, we observe what appears to be a reality going on in the TV. And interlaced between all the different shows and entertainment that people watch are these illusions of, you know, matching up marketing with sex or matching up marketing with happiness, matching up marketing with love. Buy this product and it's associated with this emotion. And so what you have is, in the brain, it observes all of this and then it says, money equals happiness.
Hmm.
With all of this programming going in, it's only obvious that eventually the brain is going to link up money equals happiness. And once it's created a value structure like this, values are like at the operating system of the brain, it's what drives all behaviors. You can tell somebody money doesn't equal happiness, but if they've already created that value structure in the brain, and the large institutions that thrive off of people linking up that value, when that happens, you can tell them money does equal happiness. They go, oh, yeah, I know it does, because all you're telling me is words. But everywhere I look, I see pictures, I see emotions, I see all kinds of sensory inputs mm-hmm. telling me that money does equal happiness. So how are you going to change my opinion? You're just one person. Every day I'm barraged by millions of bits of information that support my conclusion.
You know, for about 2 or 3 years, my wife and I did not have a television in the house. We had it in the garage. It wasn't even plugged in. It was actually screened against the wall for like 3 years. And there's a part of me that wants to take this big screen TV. It's not really a big screen, but it's a large TV set. It's one of these still big tube types. I haven't evolved to the flat screen yet. And I'm like wanting to not even put it in storage, get rid of it. Because quite honestly, I get bombarded by ads, and I can watch all the programs I want on the internet. It's all available there too. So it's not like I'm going to be missing anything. I just go to the website of my favorite show, or my wife does the same thing of her favorite show. And with the internet connection that we have, you've got a nice stream of those programs. So it's not like you're going to miss anything. And then you get to literally pick and choose. You still get bombarded with ads, but you have a little bit more control over that than you would on the TV screen, on the TV. I mean, yeah, you can hit mute. And so forth. But anyway, it's very interesting, our society and the direction that it has gone. And this is one of the things that was also brought up in a previous interview, and have you address this before we wrap up, because I know you're pressed for time. And that is, technology was the subject that came up in this program. And the guest made the comment that we don't know how to use the technology that we have today. Not only is the technology infantile in the way it's being presented, but we are infantile in the way that we're using it. And his case in point was specifically all of the social networks. I'm not even going to go down the list. Everybody knows what they are. And he says, we could be achieving so much more with the existing technology that we have, but we're just playing games with it. Your observation?
Well, first of all, it's a good observation, and second of all, it makes sense, because if we look at society or the evolution of society in the same way that we might look at the evolution of human consciousness, so evolution has always built structures first. In other words, there's a theory about how the brain structures form. We have the triune brain theory by Paul MacLean. Talks about we had a reptilian brain. And then we develop, like, the reptilian brain is what gives us our instincts. And then we have what they call the middle brain, which gives us, like, our emotions. And then eventually in the largest part of the brain grew over the top of that, and that's the brain that gives us our logic. So how do we make sense of emotions, and how do we make sense of instinct, and how do we even have conversations like this is a result of these three brains working together. And then we get to what you had talked about before, where you said, well, we're using only 10% of our brain, and we could be using it for so much greater purposes. Remember, first the structure, and then the efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And so now let's look at society and the technology that we're using. First the structure, first the social networks, first the internet, first all these great tools, then the efficiency. And the thought leaders on this, like the gentleman you may have spoke to who recognized this truth, is saying, oh my gosh, look at the structures that exist. if only we were using it for these greater purposes. And that will happen because you're recognizing it, you're repeating it to me, he brought it up to you, I'm going to repeat it, that we know the structures have a much greater ability than they're being used for, but the structures had to exist before the efficiency could take over.
Good point. Good point. James, I want to thank you very much for taking this extra time in the after interview to share with us. And I encourage people to go to your website, fullpotential.com. Check out the ebook, which is available through, and it's also available through amazon.com. It's called Unleash Your Full Potential. And again, James, thanks so much for joining us.
Richard, it's been a real pleasure, and you've asked some very thought-provoking questions. I love it.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been the after interview of Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Join us every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and streaming live on the internet. Don't forget our archives at richarddugan.com.